I'm going to get you out by 8 o'clock because I've got another meeting after this with some folks about the jail ministry. So I'm forced to go early tonight, amen? But, and by the way, I believe we have on Sunday night, we have, I believe, that's the 30th, isn't it? Brother Miles Thomas, our national Filipino, is going to be with us this Sunday night. Miles. And so he'll be with us Sunday night. And all righty, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Let's just stretch your legs. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 through 19. I want to talk to you about Abraham and Isaac tonight. I want to give you a couple truths. And then I want to... I'm going to do a little expository preaching, Carl, from Genesis 22. Notice in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, by faith. You know what? We need faith. I'm going to tell you, Mark Thompson, he doesn't have a lot of money, but he's got a lot of faith, I'll tell you that. I called him up and I said, you must be really walking close to God, buddy. And by faith, and by the way, God blesses faith. God, say this, God blesses faith. Matter of fact, it says in Scripture, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so, that's Hebrews 11, 6. But look at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. You know, we're going to go through a lot of trials in our life. And God's going to see if we each make the test when we're tried. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Remember, he offered up Isaac. He said, I'm going to give you a son. He waited 25 years. Him and Sarah, he was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Sarah was 90. They waited 25 years for Isaac. Then after he's born, God says, I want you to offer him up. Wow! Come on, God, you can't be serious. I'm serious. And then look at verse 18, of whom he said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now look at this great faith of Abraham, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. See, Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ. Just like he and Isaac is just like Jesus died and arose. Abraham, although he didn't put the knife in him because God stopped him, but he actually believed even if he killed him, he believed that God was going to raise him back up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the precious word of God. Thank you for the promises of God. And Lord, thank you for the provisions of God. And Father, I just pray now that you'll just bless us today as we look into the precious promises and provisions you gave for Isaac. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Please sit down and you look with me in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. First book in the Bible written by Moses. Matter of fact, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. They're called the Pentateuch. And Moses wrote the first five books, the book of Genesis. And look at chapter 22. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to try this within the next 20 minutes. I'm going to just read, we're going to go verse by verse, the first 18 verses. And I just want to, what we call expository preaching, Brother Jack, amen? And my main thought tonight, and John, if you want to, you can either title the offering of Isaac, or you can just write Jehovah Jireh. Whatever you want to write on the title, it's fine with me. And look at Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass, and it always does, by the way. It always does come to pass, doesn't it? And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt. Like, for instance, Moses, when God told Noah there was going to be a flood, people didn't believe it, but it came to pass, and the flood came, didn't it? And God said different things, and it always came to pass. Everything that God ever says, it always came to pass. He said he's coming back, and people don't believe that. They're scoffing. But one day he's going to come in the clouds real soon, and it's going to come to pass. Amen? Amen. And it's amazing. There's a saying, I'll meet you at the pass. Amen? And well, if you're going to meet us at the pass, you got to meet us up in the clouds because that's where Jesus is coming. Amen? When it comes to pass, that's where we're going to be. And so... notice verse 1, and it came to pass, Genesis 22, that these things that God did tempt. In other words, he tried him, he tested him. Let's see how much Abraham loves me. Let's see how much Abraham and Sarah trust me. I just performed this miracle. I mean, not many 90-year-old women have a baby. Not many 100-year-old men have babies. By the way, I saw on TV this. They said this man, but he's not a man. He was really a woman who changed sexes. But whenever you're born, that's what you really are. When you're born a beagle, you're a beagle. When you're born a female, you're born a female. If you're born a male, you're a male. You know, and so I didn't get too excited about that hairy belly of that guy on the news. They had a guy in there with a hairy belly, but said he's having a baby. Oh, he's got a big belly, bigger than mine. Of course, I'm not having a baby, though. That's the only trouble of mine. But anyways, I was supposed to be funny. Anyways, yeah, I was on the news yesterday. I don't know if it was on today, but it was on. How many saw it on the news? And what an idiot. So a woman married a woman, and now, of course, they had to have the thing put in, implanted in them. The babies. So now he's having a baby. They think it's a miracle. It's not a miracle. All you did is you got a woman having a baby that's trying to look like she took hormones so she could grow hair, and she did some other surgical things. I mean, what they're saying is this idiot married this idiot. Now the poor little baby's got to live with him. Hello. And well, if you get it on TV, you'll see. See, God meant a man and a woman to be together, not a woman and a woman. He didn't mean for a man and a man to be together. It's an abomination. No, it's just a lifestyle, preacher. No, it's an abomination according to God's word. God made man, Adam and Eve. I'm glad it wasn't Adam and Steve.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad I got Steve here, but I'm glad he married Eve. Amen. Which is Jan. Okay. I gotta get going, Steve. We ain't never gonna make it. And Steve, if I get going back with you, we'll go all night, won't we? Okay, notice first one. He said, and look what God did tempt Abraham and said, Abraham, I love how he's, look what Abraham said. Behold, here I am. How do you like that quick response? I wrote three quick questions. When's the last time God spoke to you? First of all, wasn't it great that he spoke to Abraham? I wonder, how long has it been since God spoke to one of us? He ought to speak to you. Hello? And by the way, when I pray, I speak to him. When you read the Bible, he speaks to you through the scriptures.
That's right.
Now, God tells me things, but I don't hear a voice. I don't hear him say, Pastor Skyver, I am going to do this. No, I don't hear a voice. But the Bible talks about a still, small voice within. And God puts things in my heart. He said, this is what's going to happen. And so that's how he speaks, to a still, small voice. Amen? But now he literally heard an audible voice. But what I like, the first question is, when's the last time God spoke to you? And if you can't remember the last time God spoke to you about something, then I'll throw this in. Why haven't you? What's wrong? Hello? And number two, if God spoke to you, are you close enough to in your walk with him to hear his voice? Sometimes God speaks to people, but they don't hear him. And a lot of times he speaks to them, and they don't hear him because they're too far away. 1 John says in 1:7, if we walk in the light as he's the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. How's our walk with Christ today? How's your walk with the Savior? Is it a close walk, or would you say it's a fair walk, or would you say it's a distant walk? You know, a lot of times, especially the husbands, I know, because Rosie will say, I told you, Richard. I didn't hear you say anything. Judy might say to Jack, this is the second time I'm telling you. Jack said, I didn't hear you the first time. A lot of times we don't hear because we don't want to hear. But sometimes we don't hear. Because we're too far away to hear the voice. Let's all not be too far away from the Lord that we can't hear his voice. Now, you can't lose your salvation. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about your walk, your stewardship, your service to God. Amen? And the third thing is, when you hear his voice, will you readily respond like Abraham did? I really hope. By the way, look what he said there in verse 1. Behold, here am I. I like that. He was volunteer. He didn't know what God was, Bobby. He didn't know what God wanted for, and he was already volunteer. Here I am, Lord. What do you need? That's the kind of heart we need to have. Amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 2. And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son." Remember, he waited 25 years. They waited 25 years for Isaac, whom thou hast lovest. He loved him beyond measure. And get thee into the land of Moriah. They say this area, Moriah. Some scholars say it is. Some say it isn't. I kind of believe it is. But, you know, I would never argue with anybody that would disagree. But some believe this is the area. Because it's a type of Christ. Because Isaac here is a type of Christ. And Abraham's a type of God the Father, in a sense. They think that Moriah is the area where Christ was crucified. Just outside of Jerusalem. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
And so, notice it says in the land of Moriah, and offer him here therefore a burnt offering in one of the mountains where I will tell thee of. Look, so he tells Abraham what to do. Now look at verse 3. And Abraham disputed with God over what he told him to say. No, that's not what it says there. See, a lot of times God tells us but how many think Abraham was happy over this? No, I wasn't. But did he argue? Nope. Notice what he said. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. How many see that?
Amen.
And so here instead of arguing, he said, "Okay, God, that's what." And instead of, did he hesitate? Did he put it off? Did he procrastinate? No, he did not. He got right. He did exactly. You know what? I'm hoping that when God tells me to do stuff, that I have enough faith in God that I'd respond right away. Because many times, I'll be honest with you, God speaks to all of us. He'll tell us he wants us to do something, and really maybe not what we want to do, or maybe it's not really to our liking, and we kind of put it off. Well, maybe if I don't do it, maybe God will change his mind. Hello? How many are with me yet?
Amen.
Isn't this good stuff?
Yeah.
And then look at verse 3, four. And the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes. I wonder why they put that third day there. Of course, we know it's the third day. But remember, Isaac's a type of Jesus Christ. What day did Jesus raise from the grave? Third day. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 5. Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, and I want you and worship and come again unto you." Now, there's two great statements there. I circled the word in my Bible, worship. I circled that. And then I also underlined that the last few, and he says, "And we'll come again to you." Now, that is faith. Because, in other words, he's saying, me and my son are leaving. Well, hello? Are you still with the program? We're going to offer up your son. Isaac's going to die. But he said, no, me and my son are coming back. So he really did believe God was going to raise him. But notice that word worship. Oh, man. I love giving. I'm a giver. I'm glad God put giving in my heart. Did you notice? He said, I'm going to go to worship. What was he going to do? He was going to go up, he was going to give an offering. He was going to give up his son. He was going to give up a sacrifice. So giving and sacrifice are connected with worship. Hello?
Amen.
Don't think giving's not connected with worship. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he... Yeah. You can't worship without giving. And that doesn't mean money all the time. Just giving of yourself, giving of your talents, of your time. Hello? More than the tithe. I'm talking about your hope. Just God, listen, God don't need us. We need him. How much do I give of God, of myself? And he said, we're going up. He was going to give him all. He was going to give him his only begotten son, Isaac. We're going up to worship. So worship is always connected with giving. Just thought you'd have that in mind. Are you still with me? Notice verse 6. Abraham took wood. What was the cross made out of? Wood. And he laid it upon his Isaac, his son. What did Jesus carry up to towards Golgotha? He carried the cross on his back, right? And here he's got this on Isaac's back. How many are with me?
Amen.
Type of Christ. So symbolic. How many are still a figure of in type? I'm not saying he was Christ. I'm just saying in type, in figure. How many are with me?
Amen.
And then look at verse 7. Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, my father. He said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb? Where's that lamb for that burnt offering? You know, John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And we preached about our wonderful Lamb last week, didn't we? How he died on Calvary's cross for all our sins. How the third day he rose, that Lamb without blemish, the Son of God. Amen? Look at verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And he did. 2,000 years ago, Jesus provided a lamb. Jesus was the lamb that was provided on Calvary's hill for you and I and all the world. Amen? Notice now, notice what it says there. My son, God will provide. How many see that? I circled that word provide. And I put Philippians 4:19 there. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all our need according to the riches in Christ Jesus. But my God shall supply all our need, Philippians 4:19, according to the riches in Christ Jesus. Who was that lamb typifying? Christ Jesus. Amen? Are you with me?
Amen.
And so then verse 9, notice verse 9. And they came to the place when God told them, which God told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. By the way, did you notice something? And laid him on the altar upon the wood. Did Isaac refuse? Did he fight back? No. By the way, now remember, Isaac here is, Abraham's way over 100. I think Isaac might have had more strength than his father as a teenager. Are you with me? How many are with me?
Amen.
He could have, but no. Isaac was subject to his father's will, just like Jesus was subject to his father's will. Isaac didn't speak out. He went as a lamb to the slaughter. Jesus spoke not a word. He went to the lamb as a slaughter. Are you with me? What a beautiful type. Amen?
Amen.
Now look at the next verse, verse 11. And the angel of Abraham, verse 10, Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Can you imagine the heartache? But boy, the faith must overrode that, because I'm going to be honest with you. I can't see me putting a knife into my son David. I can't see me putting a knife in my grandson, Austin or Lukey. I can't see me putting any of my kids. I'd rather say, God, kill me. Let my children live, kill me. Can you imagine how much faith he had and love for God? God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be in obedience, but I know you're going to raise him up. But wow, can you imagine that? How many are with me yet? Remember now, you got to remember now, Abraham's thinking, wow, we messed up with Hagar, with Ishmael. Hello? And he's gone because God said, that's not this promised seed. Now, God, I waited 25 years, and I'm 100, and Sarah's 90, and now you give us this baby, and now after a few years, you're saying, what I gave you to be the... And by the way, everything, the whole old Jewish line depended on Isaac, because if he dies, that's it. There's no one on to carry the lineage. And the Messiah couldn't come, because that's the line he's coming from. Are you with me? And you think Abraham doesn't know that? I'm trying to get a thought to you. Sometimes God asks us to do stuff we might not understand. We say, God, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Now, by the way, God never goes contrary to his word. Anything God ever tells you to do, it'll line up with the Word of God, or you mark it down, it's not God's Spirit speaking to you. But Rod, can you imagine what's going through his mind? Can you imagine as he journeyed those 3 days? Can you imagine Sarah home crying? I mean, you're talking about their own, you're talking about, just like, of course, Christ was definitely a miracle child. He didn't have a human father. God was his father, but still, Isaac was a miraculous birth, even though it was two human beings. He was a miraculous birth. Sarah was well beyond having children. Scripture says that. Of course, at 90 years old, they usually are well beyond having children. Amen. Scripture says she was, though. So any idiot couldn't try to make something out of it. Isaac was a miracle child sent from God. And so, all his hopes and all his dreams as he lifts that knife up. What faith. I'm going to do it, God. I'm just going to trust you to take care of this. Because I know the whole thing. I know all the hopes and dreams of the future are centered on this child. But God, you're telling me to do it. And God, let God be true and every man a liar. God, your ways are above my ways. Your thoughts are above my thoughts. Are you with me?
Amen.
But can you imagine the testing, the trial? The test of faith that this is, I'm going to be straight out with you. I think I've got faith, and I know I've got faith. But Judy, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I got that much faith. Hello? How many think that's a pretty big step of faith?
Yes.
That's a step of faith, buddy. And you can say, oh, I'd do it too. Yeah, you can say it because you're not there. But if it came down to it, I think when the rubber hits the road, we'd all say, I'm not sure about that one, preacher. I'd say let's go down to Dairy Queen there and get a Dairy Queen and let's think this over for it before we do anything. Amen. That's still not a bad idea, getting a Dairy Queen. Anyways, he said, "Here I am. I got to get going because it's 5 of 8." Verse 12. He said, "Lay not thine." No, he holds his back arm. He's getting ready. Diane, he's getting ready to put that knife in his son. And look what happens. Verse 12. God sends his angel. "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything upon him, for now I know that thou fearest God." Wow. I was never going to let you do it. I just wanted to see if you would love me enough and fear me enough to obey my voice, and you passed the test. I wonder how many times God puts me in a test and you in a test, just to see, even though he wasn't going to have us do it, just to see if we would stand by him and trust him at his word. And I wonder how many times we failed him. Or wonder how many times we might have said, "Hey, you passed the test." I hope our faith will help us always pass the test. Amen? And I'm not talking about knifing people. I'm talking about whatever kind of challenge God might put for us. You know, God's not going to tell you to go out and kill people. Unless it's, no, I can't say that. He's going to never tell you to kill anybody. Amen. And now, because you know why? He's the revenger. He's the one of, here's a great verse for you. Isaiah 54:17. Dr. Brooke gave me that verse a long time ago. Let me just quote it to you. Just stay right here in Genesis. I quoted this to a man the other day, young Steve, over there in Arizona. A guy railroaded him from up there, bought his bus out there in Arizona. And he still got the bus. And when he first told me, I was really irritated. And I said, "Did you punch him?" He said, "I didn't, preacher." I said, "Wow, God bless your heart. Good thing you didn't, because Steve's a huge boy, too." I drove him right through the cement. I said, "I'm proud of you, Steve." And I said, "Steve, you didn't have to punch him. I'm glad you didn't. I might have grabbed his neck, but he hasn't." Anyways, that's a long story. It doesn't matter. But I said, "Steve, here's a scripture for you. I'm glad God gave me scripture. Amen." Isaiah 54:17 says this: "No weapon that's formed shall prosper. No weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness of me, saith the Lord." And I said, "Steve, you did the right thing. You just said, 'No, I'm sorry.' Has him drive a bus 50 miles. Says he's going to buy it. Tell him say he's got the money. Then he gets out there and he says, 'No, I'm not going to give you the money.' After he drives it 50 miles, it's a 100-mile trip. And Stevie's about 6'3" and 300 pounds. And, you know, he's a big boy. You know, he's a big boy. I'm glad he loves me. I'd never want to get him mad. When he told me that kid said that to me, and that kid was, I said, are you kidding me? He said, I'm not kidding you. He was laughing. I said, Steve, did you break his jaw? He said, no. I said, good boy. And I said, boy, I'm so much the way he did it. I said, my flesh was so aroused. I said, I wish someone could have been there just to snap that kid's neck a little bit. But you know, that's in this name of the Father, Son, in love, amen. But I said, you did the right thing, because God, vengeance is mine, said the Lord, I will repay. And I said, Stevie, you were a Christian. And I said, and by him going against you as a child of God, no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. I said, don't worry, there's going to be judgment on that kid. As a matter of fact, you better pray for him, because that kid better get saved real quick. Amen? Anyways, that's not good preaching. Amen. And now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Can I ask you something? I want you all to think about the closest thing in your life right now. I want you to think about the closest thing to your life right now. Whatever means the most to you right now, if God asked you to give that up for him, would you be willing to give it up? I mean, that thing you love the most, the thing that means the most to you, could you give that up? That's something to think about, isn't it? Look at verse 13. Abraham lifted up his eyes, looked, and behold, a ram caught in a thicket with his horns, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Hallelujah. God provided. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 14. I'm going to wrap this up. It's almost 8 o'clock. Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. How many see that? Amen. And that word Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will see, the Lord will provide. And Look at verse 17 and 18. I'm gonna talk to you one thought on Jehovah Jireh. That in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of the enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations. We're talking about the Jewish people. In thy seed shall all the nations be of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Don't ever think bad about the Jewish people. They're a blessing from God. We should always love the Hebrew people. The Jewish people are a blessing. Now, they have to be saved just like you and I. They have the same Messiah. They got to be saved just like, they got to be born again just like you and I. But Jewish people are not a curse. They're a blessing. Some people, like over in Germany years ago, they tried to kill every Jew on the face of the earth. And that was wrong. They were a blessing from God. And you ought to love the Jew, not hate him. Amen? But I want you to see that in verse 14. I'm all done. Jehovah Jireh. God saw and he provided. And I just want to share this one thought with you. It'll relate to you. And we're going to. Jehovah Jireh is the thought for the week. This week, Mark is coming and his family. And be honest with you, I didn't know Mark was coming this quick, but he kept telling me, but he did. And then everyone knows preacher's not organized. I'm usually the guy that waits to the last minute. So on Monday, even though he's coming Friday, Monday I started looking for a place for him to live. Hello, anybody home? And for the last 3 days, I've been pulling my hair out, trying to find a place for him to live, trying a place where he could afford. And Mark is definitely a Baptist preacher. He's as poor as old Job's turkey. Most Baptist preachers ain't got two nickels in their pocket. And the money we sent him is how he's getting here, by the way. Hallelujah. He doesn't start school till September, although he is going to be in there next week in the school because we're going to break him in to teach him, but he's going to be teaching sixth grade next year. And but as far as him really taking a regular position, a paying position from, well, he'll get paid for filling in next week, but 1 week pay. But as far as a regular check from the school every week from the school, it won't start till August, you know, when I start school, you know. And so he came a little earlier. He has no job. The job he said he had fell through. So he's coming with nothing. I'm trying to find a place where he can afford and, you know, get him in with rent and deposits and everything else. And I found one place where he'd get in without no deposit. It would have been a place where they could live. They weren't tied down. And they have a little dog. And that's always another thing. And all these last 3 days, I've been calling people. I had Dave Yost, Dave making all kinds of calls. I've looked at houses. I've looked at duplexes. I've talked to people in the mornings. I've talked to them in the evenings. I've talked to them in the afternoons. I've went everywhere, to be honest with you. And then this afternoon, a lady came in. Well, what happened? A few weeks ago, I met a man coming out of the hospital. I'm not going to say his name, but I met a man. Brother David and I came out of the hospital on a Thursday night. And this man's a Christian businessman. And he came up to me. It was around 8:30. We were walking in the parking lot. And he said, "Hey, are you those Baptist preachers?" And I didn't know if he was going to punch me or not, Jack. And I said, "Yes, sir, I am." I figured I'll take one for the Lord, amen? And he said, "I'm glad to meet you." I said, "Boy, I'm glad you're glad, amen?" But I didn't run, Stevie. It's kind of a cowboy type guy. And just a good man, born again Christian man. He said, "Man, I've been watching your ministry." He said, "My grandson goes to your school." And he just kept talking. He said some real things, exciting things that maybe I'll be able to say to you in the future. But right now, I'm not at liberty to say things. But anyways, his daughter came by our house today, and I said hello to her. And they're not members here. They've never been in our church, by the way, unless it'd be for the school. And I said, talked to her, and I said, "Oh, I'm pulling my hair out. I've got a preacher and his family coming." And I said, "I'll be honest with you, I don't know what we're going to do." I said, "I'm just praying that God takes care of this. You know, not only does it cost a couple thousand to get people here, when you rent houses, you got to have $700, $700 deposit. When you move from out of state, you're talking about $3,000 with the moving and getting into another place. Because you can have another $1,400, $1,500 deposit to get in, you know, into another, in a home. You know what I'm with me? How many are with me?" And I just said, she said, I don't know. She just didn't even hesitate, Steve. "Oh! By the way, this is the daughter of that Christian businessman." Amen. And it's amazing. I'm not telling you. Why she came to her house was just amazing. I mean, it's just God. And she said, "Oh, you need a place for that preacher and his family to stay?" And I said, "Yeah, we're calling. We're looking." She said, "Ah, we're all moved out of my mom and dad's. They got a huge place. They've got a mansion over there. They can live upstairs. There's 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms. There's all kinds. They put missionaries and preachers all the time. He can stay there for free until something comes up." And I said, "Call your." And I said, "You better call your mom and dad." She says, "I will, preacher, but I'm telling you, I know my dad. Well, I got to know him real good, too. By the way, he loves Harley Davidsons. I was in his home, I know. And he was on one going over 140 miles on one. And he must have a little Wilson blood in him. They speed like crazy. Daughter speeds like Jeannie Wilson. Anyways, they have a beautiful property. Beautiful. He's got several acres of land. He's a hardworking businessman. Don't ever knock business people. They work hard for what they get. I get so mad at people looking down at people. The reason they make it is because they work hard. Anyways, he said, "Preacher, you can stay here. And I said, well, we only just need a few. He said, no, you can stay here a couple months if you want, but he'll stay here for free. We're going to take care of everything. And I called up brother, and I just started bawling. All I could think was Jehovah Jireh. That's all I could think about. And that's why the Lord will see and he will provide. My little faith. I was putting, I had Davey running for me, and Davey Yossi was calling. We were calling, and man, we were calling all kinds of people. I was wrecking my brain. And of course, I'm a Jacob. I'm trying to surplan. I'm trying to figure out. Sometimes I got to try to figure out things for God, how I can pull things off. Hello. You do it too. And then God said, I'm going to bring this one girl over. I ordered a part for something in our house. And she called David Richard and said, just tell your dad to stay here. I'm going to bring the part to you. And then she says, you need a place for a preacher? My dad puts them up all the time. And it's a beautiful home. And I called Mark. And I was bawling. I hugged I went to sit down and talk to the businessman for about an hour today, and because I met him, I just met him for the first time out there in the parking lot a couple weeks ago, and I hugged him two or three times. I said, "Thank you." He said, "It's not me. It's the Lord." He said, "I'm thrilled to do it for God." And They're Christian Missionary Alliance. They're not Baptist, but like I told Mark, hey, we don't have a head generation. I'm glad to be a Baptist, but you ain't gonna be a Baptist to go to heaven. You gotta be saved. Right. And so Mark and his wife and his family were just gonna, and then I said, well, I'll rent a locker to put us. And I said, nah, I'll put it in one of my warehouses, and so we'll just take care of all that. And but what I'm saying is this. I worried all week. And in 1 second, God, just like he did for Maria, he took care of it. Amen. You know, sometimes the preacher and all of us have little faith. But always remember, Nicole and Sean, there's a God in heaven. One of the names they call God is Jehovah Jireh. That means God sees, and he provides. And so there might be some things in your life right now. It might not be financially, but maybe you need something else in your life. I just had a lady, one of our faithful ladies this week. I'm not saying who, but and eventually you're going to find out. She's got cancer in her, and she's going to have a surgery real soon. And we're going to trust God to take care of it for her. And she's a faithful lady. You'll know right away when it finds out. But I'm not at liberty to say right now. When they want to tell it, we will. But God's going to take care of it. He's going to provide. Amen. Amen? And so I don't know what you're going through today. But whatever you're going through, let me just say this to you. God loves you. Amen. He sees your need.
Right.
And he'll provide. Because he's our Jehovah Jireh. He sees. And his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he's watching over me. And the greatest thing, and I'm all done, it's after 8 o'clock, the greatest thing he provided was he provided the Savior, the Lamb, for our sins. And I'm glad Jesus provided for me, and I'm glad he provided for you. Had not Jesus provided, finances are great, but salvation is the greatest thing of all. Finances come and go. I know. But I'm going to tell you, salvation's eternal. And you could win $1 million, hit the lottery, and you could die and go to hell. But with Christ's provision, Jesus, you go to heaven forever. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I wonder before we go home tonight, I'm thankful for the Jehovah Jireh, the wonderful God in heaven we have that sees and provides. The greatest thing he has provided for you and me and the whole world, he's provided eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. And how many could say, Pastor, I've put my faith in the Son of God, and I know that if I die, I'd go to heaven because I've taken that provision, Jesus, as my Savior. Who could raise their hand? I know for sure I'm saved. Thank you. You may put them down. Is there anyone tonight say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. You can play softly, Deborah. Anyone here tonight? Pastor, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. All I want to say, if you're here tonight and you don't know, you have a Jehovah Jireh in heaven. He saw your need 2,000 years ago. And he died for you on the cross. And he provided for eternal life and forgiveness of all your sin. Jesus is our Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord's provision for you, for me, and all the world. If you'd like to come tonight, while Deborah's playing this song, you'd like to trust Christ as your Savior, I'm just going to have you sit right where you're at. Debbie's going to just play through this song. If you never trusted Christ as your Savior, you'd like to trust him, you could step out of your seat right now. Or maybe you want to pray about something. Maybe you have a need. Maybe you have a need. No one's looking. Maybe you have a need. You want to just come and pray at the altar. Maybe it's a physical need. Maybe it's a spiritual need. Maybe there's a financial need. I don't know. Whatever need you, maybe you need a need that God would strengthen you or something. I don't know what it is. Maybe you'd like to come and pray. God, come down and be my Jehovah Jireh. Just like you did Abraham and Isaac. Just like you came down for Mark and Mark Thompson and his family. Well, what a wonderful provision. It was all free. All that worry and all that stress. God, in one moment of time, God provided. He can do for you the same. And all God's people said, let's all stand for prayer. I'm so glad you came tonight.